It's David here. It's August 15th, 2020. But we're actually going to spend most of the next 10 minutes or so in 1968. I'll be handing over to Keith Baverstock, the founder of London Walks. Well, it'll be Keith's words. I'm going to be reading them. Keith is sending us a memoir, really. It's a series. I read the first one last night, which was really about his background, his starting out in his native Australia and coming to England, to London, etc. And tonight, we're going to move on to the very beginning of London Walks, which was in 1968. We're quite pleased to have that confirmed. A few years ago, we had made an educated guess at the year that London Walks had got started, and we'd actually guessed 1968, so we were spot on. But anyway, over to Keith now. Here's what he says. This is part two of the history of London Walks from the man himself, the founder of the oldest urban walking tour company in the world, Keith Baverstock. In 1968, the pull of the mother country and the arrival of our first child brought me back from a brief trip to Australia. Initially to Scotland, near my wife Fiona's family, but scarce jobs and low wages drew me back to swinging London and plentiful employment. Pre-computer days, they needed no end of office staff. And with my travel experience, and in this case, my knowledge of the colonies, I was able to obtain a position with Shaw Saville Lines in Haymarket. Immigration was at its height, and Shaw Saville's Southern Cross and Northern Star plied their routes to the colonies full. The company also looked after the New Zealand Shipping Company on its run to the land of the long white cloud. What had shipping to do with my starting London Walks? Absolutely nothing. Well, the offices were in the heart of London, and I was surrounded by historic pubs and theaters. London's clubland was just around the corner. Its historic shops, many no longer with us, a few minutes stroll away. And many a lunchtime or evening after work, I would enjoy a pint in one of the historic pubs. Pubs in Australia at that time were for serious drinking, a hangover from the famous 6 o'clock swill, when Aussies, almost exclusively males, rushed to down as many pints as possible between knocking off work at 5 and the mandatory pub closure at 6. Victoria and South Australia hung on to the swill till 1966 and 1967, respectively. So London's atmospheric pubs, where you could even get a basic ploughman's lunch, were a revelation. The Sunday Times, or The Observer, from time to time, carried a couple of lines under events, offering pub walks, occasional pub walking tours at either 4 and 6 or 5 shillings a person. 4 people would give you £1. 20 people, £5, which in 1968 was quite a bit of money when the clerical wage was around £12 a week. But the tours appeared to be ad hoc, infrequent, with no real organization, and were chiefly about drinking. I immediately saw an opportunity for properly researched, organized, and marketed tours that combined engaging, informative spiels with a little bit of conviviality. So I did the knowledge of London pubs, the West End, Soho, very naughty in those days, upmarket Hampstead, downmarket Whitechapel, the City of London, though on a Friday and Saturday night, somewhat quieter than nowadays, the Elephant and Castle, and my favorite, the wonderful pubs of Dockland. I also joined just about every library I could. Remember, no internet in those days, and took out as many books as I could find on London's history and pubs, though 50 years ago there were not too many books on these subjects available. The next task that faced me was how to promote the walks. Luckily, my employers had Gestetner and Ronio printers, pre-photocopier days. You would cut a stencil on a waxed sheet fed into the typewriter, attach the type sheet to an inked drum, and crank the handle around to run off the sheet, trying to avoid the ink giving you black hands or the stencil tearing. As no one at my employers questioned my use of the machines, they were in use continually for passenger lists and other documentation. After a few months of doing the knowledge, I cut my stencil with a number of pub walks, starting from London tube stations on Friday and Saturday nights at 7:30 p.m., costing 5 shillings, plus, of course, the customer paying for his or her own pints. 4 or 5 historic pubs to be visited on each walk. A few hundred sheets were run off, and the program distributed, most going to the old BTA offices in St. James's Street, and the rest distributed around Kangaroo Alley, Earl's Court, and Baron's Court. Copies were also sent off to the media, which in the late 1960s tended not to consign media releases to the rubbish bin, and were willing to cover an event in their columns. I think the first pub tour was from Tower Hill on a Friday night, along St. Catherine's Way and Wapping High Street to the Prospect of Whitby. The streets were deserted, the pubs pleased to see you, the smell of rum and spices filled the air from the warehouses that were still being used, and the area was full of history, which the half a dozen people on the first walk loved. This was the beginning of London Unlimited and London Walks. Within a short time, the pub tours would be supplemented by everything from the Good Loo Tour to Jack the Ripper tours. But that is the next chapter.